As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Dave's room is well lit and has natural lighting because he gets a suite and they put you in a closet.
I can open up the blinds.
Let me open up the blinds. I believe your room's smaller than a New York apartment.
Seth, would you like to do the intro?
No, we're not doing that again. We're not doing that again. Absolutely not.
Let me have take two.
God, don't screw this up.
It's Friday. That means it's time on the Athletic NBA show for Nerder. She wrote.
Hey.
No, that's all the intro I'm doing. Dave, you want to take it from here?
That's Seth part now. I'm Dave DeFore. Mota Keel joining us, not in Las Vegas. Although the three of us did see each other at about midnight last night before Mo took off today. This is day 87 of Las Vegas Summer League for Seth and I. Mo got out of town like a genius.
No, not like a genius. I should have left 2 days ago. That's the honest truth. But yeah, Vegas is just wears you down.
Yeah. And by the way, words you don't expect to hear in July in Las Vegas, heat wave. It was already hot. This doesn't feel very fair, guys. 116, 117 degrees this weekend. Yeah. Okay, well, we should...
My room overlooks the pool, and the pool looks good right now.
Yeah, I think we should run down to the pool right after we record this. Summer League is just about over. We're getting to the end. And, I mean, you know, we've got the Magic.
It's over for me. I'll be honest with you. I've reached the point where I'm done. That's it.
You're on to the next thing.
I will do whatever summer projects I have basketball wise, but I am done with summer league, Dave.
You know what? I've seen about 4 minutes and 30 seconds of summer league because, you know, Seth and I have been in the bowels of Thomas and Mack Arena doing sports business classroom, which has just been an overwhelming success. My favorite thing to do every year. And unfortunately have not caught much basketball while I was here. I've watched some replays here and there. But no, I've not seen very much, but I do want to talk a little bit about summer league and expectations and the way we're always looking for a reason to knock a guy and Wemby and Brandon Miller in particular come to mind.
I'll not just knock a guy, but also declare someone the next big thing, like be the first to declare someone the next big thing.
Well, this is why I'm an early adopter on Manny Green, right? Like, 2026, he's coming in. He's going to be the, you know.
Is that just Danny Green with the mustache?
That's so bad. That's so bad. No, but like, here's the thing about summer league for me, and this is really every time I leave and things like that, and you might have seen me post this recently. Summer league opinions need to be loosely held. Right, like your opinions of guys in summer league. Okay, this is my first look at most of these guys. The only guy I feel like I knew before all this really well was Wembanyama. at this point, though, it's, you know, the, yeah, there was stuff I wasn't all that thrilled with Brandon Miller's stuff, but like, not going into the season going up, bust, they blew it. I thought Charlotte blew it anyways, because I would have taken Scoop. Doesn't matter how good Brandon Miller would have been. But in that sense of like, this is the important thing. This is our first look for a lot of these guys. And for the rookies in particular, you can't hold on to these opinions from what you saw in Summer League.
Yeah, and it's a new world, right? They're trying to adjust to a new environment. For Victor Wembanyama, his season just ended not that long ago. I mean, Seth and I were talking about it. He was running like 60% speed out there. He looks like he hadn't done anything since the season ended, and rightfully so. Like, he needs an offseason. This is why he's not going to play in the World Cup. This is, you know, this is why I only played two games here. And by the way, looked great in game two, but still looked a little bit out of shape. He's supposed to be out of shape. For him, this is his offseason. He just finished playing in the French League final, and I don't know what people expected from him as far as a conditioning standpoint.
And, you know, I think there's a lot of people who had concern. You know, Brandon Miller didn't have a ton of pop, especially the first couple of games. And then maybe I missed this when it came out, but he had mono a month ago. So, oh, okay. Well, in that case, we're not, you know, he guy lost 15 pounds, had mono. Yeah, maybe the true burst isn't quite there yet. So, like, I agree with Mo. Like, the little bit of Scoot we saw before he got hurt and shut down looked super legit. Again, loosely held opinion, but that, like, confirms the opinion I held before the draft on who should have been taken. But, you know, a guy's sick, a guy is not in game shape because he's rightfully, as you said, taking some time off. Super grain of salt. Like, let's not judge these guys on, you know, 30 minutes of play where they take 10 shots and a couple jump shots don't go in or go crazy because a guy hits four in a row.
And this is for professionals only, by the way. If you're a fan of a team and like your young guy is awesome, I actually love when people get excited. This is why I love Summer League. Summer League basketball is bad, but earnest. And, you know, everybody has hope right now. The hope so goes away the JD in Walsh, camp, right?
You're on the JD Walsh trade for the Boston Celtics after he had a monster game. Like, I think sometimes the reactions too are a bit nuts, overboard. I mean, we have a broad range of guys with different agendas in terms of some guys are playing for their European contract. I mean, I think there's a long list of things in that sense. But so, Dave, you're all in. I got it down. JD Walsh, your guy.
No, Nick Smith. I'm all in on a gunner. What is he playing for? I mean, that's who I want. You know, like, sign me up for that kind of summer league experience.
Nick Smith was fun because it was like watching a Bones Highland like mixtape, except it was just consecutive possessions of an actual basketball game.
Yeah, it's funny. Today in our scouting class, we were watching Dylan Harper tape, and we did not see a single pass in the clip when we were trying to figure out what kind of player he was. I think our video coach was trying to prove a point there, but that's summer league, right? Like, you should just go out and kind of try to try things. Like Keegan Murray in that 41-point game, showing off some of the parts of his game that he's been working on. And, you know, often, and Mo, like, you know this firsthand, and I guess Seth, you do too. You know, player development is and we talk about it a lot here, but it's super underrated because you don't get to see it right away. Like, Keegan Murray has been doing, you know, he's been taking his vitamins, Mo, right? Like, he's been doing the work, and then you see it kind of come to fruition that these second year guys get out there and they show off some of those skills. They don't get to try them in the game, in the real game, but summer league is a good place for that and a good training ground.
Well, I mean, those are the most important guys in summer league, if we're being honest. It's the second and third year guys. And there were some second year guys that didn't play, but obviously for obvious reasons, right? Like Paolo Banchero, I would have wanted him to play summer league. I would have wanted Franz Wagner to play summer league. Those guys are going to go play in the World Cup for their teams. And, you know, I understand that. So you kind of give them a pass in that regard. But the second year guys, it's so important to just get a feel for everything, see what you've improved on, built on it. We saw it with Desmond Bane kind of turning into a playmaker in summer league, and that carried into the following season for them. And now he's got a fat ass contract. I think, you know, you're looking at a lot of things with that. And I think just for me, the most important guys are the second and even third year guys. And it's those guys that when they struggle, that's where I'm like, oh man, I'm really concerned.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, is especially with the second and third year guys, they're kind of, unless they're trying a new thing like Desmond Bain playing point guard or something like that, okay, you might expect some struggles. But if a guy's playing close to his NBA, what his NBA role should be, and he's not, I don't want to go so far as to say dominant, but I think that's pretty close to the case, especially if he struggles, that's a big time uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, I actually talked to some people today that said Keegan Murray, like the games that he played, really changed kind of their opinion on his ceiling because they didn't know he had this. I mean, I talked to one executive. Oh, I'm doing that thing that I, you know, like to do every now and then. He said he's a franchise player for the Kings. Like, not just like, yeah, I thought that was kind of shocking because De'Aaron Fox is there and Domantas Bonus is there, but they see him as like a future, like that's the face of the franchise potentially.
As they should. I look at him as when he comes along, he's going to be part of their big three. You know, it's not Harrison Barnes. Like, what are we talking? I mean, it's not, I mean, like, let's just be honest here. They should. And that's why it was really important that he got going. And even just a couple of games, you know, we've talked about it at nauseam. Jabari Smith, awesome. He had a great summer league in those games that he played and really kind of showed off, especially having kind of a flat rookie season. And some of that wasn't really his fault, but he was able to kind of show himself, you know, a little bit more. Tari Eason, another guy, his teammate on the Rockets, also kind of continuing to play the role and showing he's a player. That's the value of summer league. It's more important for those guys, and it's more important for the team with those guys than the rookies. Like, again, we talk about this. The rookies go from being drafted, flying into the city, basically are trying to figure out all these million things, moving all of this fun stuff, jump into a training camp right before summer league. And it's like 3 or 4 days. They're playing with people they've never met before for the most part, and then go from there right into summer league, be it Utah's, Sacramento or Vegas. Eventually, like, you're kind of just like, what the hell? And it's a lot thrown at you as a rookie. So it's never shocking when a rookie kind of struggles.
Well, what do you want to see out of a rookie in summer league? You know,
feel. I got it. Feel. I just want to feel like they belong. I don't want to feel like, you don't want to go like, one of these things is not like the other. Like, you don't want to look and go, this dude is so out of place. And there are guys out there that we've seen in the past who have had that. And you know what? And they also are struggling right now in their second and third summer leagues. And I'm looking at James Bouknight.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
That's kind of exactly what I was going to say. It's like, does this guy make basketball plays? One of the guys who low key was pretty impressive to me was Bilal Kubalali from the Wizards. And there were some highlight plays. Like, there was a play where like a guy tried to shoot a layup over him and he just caught it and brought it down. Those are always cool to see. But the play that stuck with me, and I was sitting with some of the Wizards front office while they were playing when this was happening, and they liked it too, was just a pretty simple play. He dribbles the ball down one side of the floor, looks into the post, calls for a screen, comes over the screen, he like crosses over right to left, dribbling on his left hand, looks the defender off on the weak side and throws a pass to the corner. Not like a highlight play, not a super flashy play, just a very solid NBA basketball play. And for a guy who is supposedly, you know, raw and you know, has been a late bloomer and late developer, just that level of it's a simple play, but making the simple play well is like, that showed me something.
It's not even that. I think the simpler plays are the ones that are more important than the highlights that everybody goes nuts and things like that. I think that's the bigger thing with that. And I'm just going to skip on the Bilal stuff and talk about Johnny Davis, which is another, like, the exact opposite, right? This is the second year guy, struggled in his first year, as a rookie. And now this one, like this is what I'm talking about. When you look at the Wizards and the stuff, you know, and the worrying aspects of summer league, like that's concerning. If you're the Wizards, you got to be very excited about Bilal, but you're like telling everybody, but don't look over there at the other dude who's been struggling quite a bit for summer league. And I think that's one of those things. Again, that's what teams they're learning in summer league. And I think that's the important thing to kind of keep an eye on.
Yeah. I felt like Leonard Miller in the highlights and clips that I've watched has shown some pretty good feel. I mean, that what a steal for the Timberwolves. He's going to be pretty like I was surprised at his ability. And maybe this is a G League Ignite thing, you know, and that's something that we can kind of unravel as his rookie season goes on. But I thought he was good at identifying mismatches, which of course now modern basketball is all about the mismatch. But you know, there were some moments where he would come over to set a screen. Now he's a bad screen setter. Doesn't really make a lot of contact. He slips almost every single time, but he was slipping and forcing switches by actually pinning the smaller guy down and getting him, dragging him into the post. And that's like you were working with Olajuwon in off season type stuff. That just good feel for getting into a position and forcing a mismatch. I still don't love how he finishes over some of these mismatches, but you could see like baby steps, but he's on his way to actually, I think he's going to be a really, really good player. Just from what I've seen in summer league. And of course, you know, last year in the G League.
And similarly, like, you know, again, Scoot didn't play a ton, but one of the things that I like to look for in a summer league setting for guards, especially guards with, you know, high-end athleticism is, can you play at various speeds? Can you vary your pace? And this is something that has always been super impressive early about Ja Morant. And you know, again, he played about 2.5 quarters of one game before hurting his shoulder. But in that time frame, and I don't know if this is something he's like had always or just playing as a professional basketball player helped him develop it, but he was a guy who knew how to throttle it up and down and use that to get to spots and then suddenly burst and get by people, use his athleticism, use his wingspan to either finish himself or dime people up.
Yeah. So I got a question for you guys though. Cause this is what I think is going to start to happen here. And we've kind of accepted it here, but who's going to play more than two games in summer league in terms of a big name rookie? Like I get it with Victor. We understand that situation. Right. Very obvious. Right.
And even Brandon Miller recovering from mono makes sense.
Mono. Right. Right. And they just shut him down. He played a couple of games.
Yep.
But like we're hitting a trend now where after two games, rookies are done. The top rookies in that sense. What's the point of summer league if teams aren't going to play their guys? Like, honestly, like second year guys aren't coming for a lot. Like, you know, this, you know what? I'll be honest with you. This would have been a good year for Jalen Green to come play basketball. I know he's not a second year guy, new system, new coach, whole situation there. Get an early rep, at least a game or two, but I'm beginning to wonder more and more. We're going to reach a point. I'm not going to be shocked. We're going to go to the summer league and like the top 10 guys aren't playing. And we're just going to be except like we're load managing before they even play the freaking game.
So what's going on to see the entire Rockets roster?
It makes no sense to me. Well, Seth, no, like, yeah, why wouldn't they all go? Why wouldn't they? They are awful. They stink. They have a new head coach.
That's the thing. New head coach. That's the thing to me. New system.
Jump start on training camp. I it makes sense. You get all this practice time. Those guys are so young. They're not good. And you've got a new coach. I actually think it's a little bit of a missed opportunity for Ime to be out there and start establishing a relationship with these guys. And maybe not the whole time. Maybe you coach the opening game or something like that. And then you let your assistants take over and get to the work. But I think the Rockets definitely should have brought more guys than they did. But the guys that were out there looked great. I mean, you mentioned Jabari Smith before. I mean, he hit that big game winner. How about that pass, though, by Tari Eason? I mean, that pass was special. I mean, that guy's got some real vision and touch on the pass. I mean, it was a nice fade route to Jabari Smith for that three.
So I actually have two sort of serious answers. The first one is I think there's a little bit of bad luck. I mean, you know, and Thompson and Scoot both in the same game both hurt themselves, and you know, especially like there's no like, you know, load management, whatever, there's no point rushing a guy back from injury
NFL oh, no, no. They're injured for sure. Like, I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, that's yeah. They get hurt. I get it. The moment a guy has a hangnail, you pull him, all of that stuff. And we get, you know, it's I understand that.
And I'm so specifically with Jalen Green, but also sort of some players like that. Will summer league basketball break or encourage some of the bad habits they have that are getting in? Like, okay, he's already kind of a guy who does a lot with the ball, you know, looks to score every time. You put him in a situation where the level of comp is lower, and how are you, you think you're going to get him to break that or lean into that?
That's coaching. That's your coaching and your front office sitting down with you, coming in and going, hey, Jalen, step in the office for a minute. We want you to play summer league. Yeah, we get it. You're a third year guy. We get it. We understand. We want you to play a couple of games of summer league. And these are the things we want you to focus on. These are the things we need you to start preparing so that you can start being a very valuable NBA player. Because this is the stuff we're going to need from you in the regular season as well. And you can start, at least, even if he reverts to that, I'm shooting, gunning type of mentality, which is easy to fall to in summer league, right? You're right about that. It can sometimes turn into a little bit of a pickup game. You have it on film where you can go to him right away and go, these are the plays we need to get out. You got it. We can't have these. And you have that on tape. And as a new coach, it kind of helps in that sense for Ime coming in with, like, this is stuff we don't want in our system. And those are the things there. So, like, I think that's just coaching. For those, like, my thing about when those guys play, they have to have a plan and an understanding of what we're trying to get out of them. We're not bringing them here as punishment and making them play. There's a reason behind it, and it's development. You need to put them and make them a part of the development program in that sense, because it kind of matters. It's their freaking development.
I wonder if that's a different question, if it isn't a first-year head coach, to be honest, because it's like, this is a little bit, I see what you're saying, but a little bit playing a devil's advocate is, if it's a coach he's been with a little bit and they've got some stuff built up, that's one thing. But if it's a new guy coming in, and is there the trust built up for that message to hit, or is it, but coach, it worked. Yeah, it worked. 'Cause you're playing against summer league competition. So I think we might be focusing on probably one of the tougher cases, but it's not an easy call.
But I was screaming about this last year.
You're right.
This is just one situation. This is a problem last year, you know, and I forget who it was last year, but there was definitely people where I was like, why aren't you here? Why aren't you playing with your teammates? Why aren't you your new teammates in that sense? Josh Giddey got a nice little bump playing with Chet. And they got an early jump on chemistry. Obviously, it didn't work out because Chet got hurt. But, you know, there's an element of that stuff in that regard. And I think for the younger guys, these are the opportunities, especially when you're a team that didn't make the playoffs. You lost in April. Man, you haven't played an actual basketball game in forever. Like, you'd want them out there in that sense. And I think that's the important thing there. And I think that's just – I'm really concerned that we're going to have a summer league one of these years where it's going to be like a bunch of dudes just sitting out, and it's not because of injuries, not because they were sick before, or they're playing in the Euro League finals and just finished. I'm genuinely concerned. We're going to have that.
I think from the standpoint of like a fan spectacle, making, you know, keeping the league in people's minds and getting the gym full and getting some excitement, I think they've done a really nice job. I think I can only speculate that there's been some arm twisting, like, okay, Wemby didn't play the first summer leagues, but he did play the first weekend here in Vegas. I think they have done a nice job of giving those kind of matchups and that excitement that first weekend to make it an event. And I think that has value just from the NBA as sort of a business, as a product, as a building some fandom and stuff like that. I do wonder about like the rest of the week, as you're saying, Mo, if that is getting maximized, or it's just like, all right, we had the first weekend and now we're just doing stuff.
They market the opening weekend of summer league better than the NBA markets most of the regular season.
You know, you're right, Mo. They're selling you basketball. They're selling you excitement. They're selling, you know what I mean? The future and hope and all that stuff. It's the stuff that we actually like about sports. And I don't think it's going to go away, Mo.
I will see.
NBA Con, they just launched that. So they need that first weekend to be packed full of people, because the NBA, you know, they're trying to generate revenue there. And if your number one picks that you've spent all that time, especially, I mean, Wembanyama, the NBA's never built up a number one pick like that. They were broadcasting his games from the French League on front and center on their app. They were advertising it on their broadcasts. I mean, this has just never happened before.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. So next topic, we should talk about the midseason tournament. Do you guys have any opinion on this, or is it something that we will eventually find out is actually good and fun? Or do you guys think it's just a waste?
I need to step in here, because for the longest time I've been screaming, we don't need it. Don't need it. Don't need it. Don't need it. That was before the way this was formatted, where it's really not going to be more than just two extra games, I believe, for the two for two teams, and one extra game for two other teams. Whereas before, it felt like this was going to be like a separate tournament and things like that, and all that. And that's where I was against it. This, I actually think, is really good. I like the format with it. It's within the regular season and this stuff. And the more important thing is, and maybe it's just messaging and they got it across to everybody, seems like the players are more into it. Every player in an interview I've heard talk about it has been like this, like they are kind of into it and feel like a little more excitement behind it. So like, that's the key to selling it. The players get into it, that'll get the fans into it. But I don't think this was for what it was possibly going to be and to what it is now, there's really not a problem, man. And the people that are complaining are just complaining. And this is a guy who hated the play-in tournament, who was going all in against that. Like, it. Just two extra games ain't gonna kill anybody.
It at least adds some stakes to a bunch of regular season games that had no stakes before. And so if you're not gonna try to win games, I mean, that's I guess that's your choice. But if the games count a little extra, maybe we get a little bit more juice. I mean, it's not quite the play-in because, you know, the standings don't matter as much. But I don't know. I think I'm with you, Mo. I at least am going into it with an open mind. And it's another excuse to come to Vegas, guys.
Well, that we don't need.
I'm gonna second Mo. I think they've done a fantastic job with the format. I think that they figured out that, you know, incentivizing the players is, you know, the winner's purse that they're giving is not like life changing money, but it's enough that even most
some of those
like,
guys,
Like a guy, like, you know, a guy who's making like mid-level or less, a half mil for winning it. Like, all right, let's go. The thing I really love about it is the designated tourney nights during the season. Yeah. Like if you talk about like, you know, a lot of the idea for this comes from like the tournaments in European soccer. And okay, you can't add the extra games to play the tournament, but kind of, you know, you look Champions League nights, FA Cup nights. Those are special, and having like designated days where these are happening in times where maybe sometimes it's hard to generate buzz or an excitement. But now, oh, this is the tournament. Hey, it's the last group game. We're determining who might go to Vegas and who might not. Like getting some real in-season stakes. Like this game matters more than a game in November might have ever mattered before. And then then doing like the final four at sort of an offsite, like making it special that way. Like, I just think it It's just kudos to everyone at the league office who designed this and really took what could have been, as Mo said, kind of a gimmicky disaster and turned it into something. I've been kind of in favor of the tourney because of this possibility, but I think they just have nailed it on terms of the formatting, and hopefully it brings the excitement and has these effects once we actually see it in practice.
So if you win, do you raise a banner, and do you do it during the season?
Is there a cup?
Do it the next season? Do you have an unveiling of some sort?
Championship belts?
Free marketing idea. Free marketing idea, by the way, because it's the Commissioner Cup, right? That's what we call it. That's what they call it, the WNBA, right? If it's called the cup, when you win, drinks should come in cups. In the replica type of cup at that arena, like just a free marketing idea. You win the Commissioner Cup, just ship them all that, you know, whatever, you're having a beer at the game, it comes in the Commissioner Cup size, you know, like let's just have fun. Like, they got to have fun with that.
You get silver saucer.
Wow.
Not a silver platter. Come on. Now you're sitting right there.
I had to go with the alliteration. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I like it.
Both of those are bad.
Again, it's just, you know, when I see people and it's, they have a negative slant on something that's an attempt to fix a real problem, which is that the regular season has so low stakes. I mean, again, two playoff teams. We had a playoff team or a play-in team meet the Western Conference Finals, and then you have another play-in team make the finals. And that really does, it values the play-in, but it devalues the regular season in a certain sense. And now, like, this is something else to play for. So I actually hope it does work and has the intended sort of effects on the season. I don't know. Feels like a good idea to me, guys. Feels like a good. Are we giving it a nerder three thumbs up as an idea? Yeah, I think so. At the very least, it's fun. It's a fun idea. It's not some crass attempt.
Again,
to...
but it's just two games. The people that are upset about it, like, relax, and let's see how it plays out. Let's see where we're at in 5 years. If it's stupid, if it's terrible, it's something, they'll just do something else. They'll pivot.
All right. Well, as we wrap up, you guys got any closing thoughts on Summer League or the NBA in general?
I think
that's
that
a
is
the, perfect that is, place to stop.
We did a whole podcast on Summer League, and then you asked for more thoughts. Well, I don't
final
have any.
Thoughts. Final
I told
thoughts.
You I was done, Dave. I'm already back in LA.
I'm gonna give the same final thoughts as our initial thoughts. It is damn hot out here, and I'm so very hot. Glad to be inside an air conditioning right now, and I'm going to stay inside for a little bit longer.
Well, I'd like to wish a happy Bastille Day to all of our French listeners, and for Seth and Mo, I'm Dave, and this has been Nerder, She Wrote, on the Athletic NBA Show.
Dave's already trying to pander to Victor.